produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Today broadcast of Living Water Radio Program. I am Dr. Sonny Obona. I want to welcome you for such a wonderful time such as this. I want you to call your friends, call your loved ones, call your family members for such a time as this for the flow of the living waters, and your life will never remain the same. Yesterday we'll be looking at the topic strength and peace in unity. Strength and peace in unity. Let's look at the scripture from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 through 13. I read the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 through 13, and I read, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you. You be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." Verse 11. "For it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contention among you. Now this I say, that every one of you say, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ." Verse 13. "Is Christ divided?" Mark that word. Is Christ divided? "Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Let us pray. Father, in the name that is above every other name, throw your weight around. Let the devil know that you are the master. Do what no man can do and take all the glory. Let there be flow of living water even as we hear your word. We rebuke every spirit of distraction. Let there be attentiveness to your word, and let your word do us good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I rightly said, today's topic is strength and peace in unity. And that will lead us to defining what is unity. What is unity? Unity, by the Oxford definition, is being together or at one with someone or something. It is the opposite of being divided. Unity is the opposite of being divided. This is a word for togetherness or oneness. Take for example, when the North won the Civil War, it assured the unity of the United States. Unity, therefore, cannot be equated as uniformity. Are you with me? Unity, therefore, cannot be equated with uniformity. Uniformity is demanding another party or person to change or to conform in order to achieve agreement, peace, or prosperity. While uniformity doesn't allow space for negotiation or compromise. In contrast, get this right. Unity values differences. Genuine unity is based on democratic values, open-minded, and the concept of multiculturalism. So here the Bible is talking about unity being in oneness and working against division. But the reason for this topic this time for the Church of God and for the Word today is that we have seen that so much division in the body of Christ. We have seen so much division in the family. We have seen so much division in our government. We have seen so much division, especially in the body of Christ. And hence, the Word of God is coming our way today to deal with strength and peace in unity. I think what the church needs today to uphold the doctrine of Christ, what the body of Christ needs today to uphold the doctrine of Christ and the coming to prepare the church for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is unity. One of the things we need, one of the ingredients of the church to be strong is unity. Without unity, there is no strength. Without unity, there is no achievement of God. Without unity, we cannot achieve our purpose as a church. And hence Paul was speaking here when he noticed that there was contention and division among the believers in Corinth church, in the church of Corinth. He said to them, you cannot allow the space for division. That he has been told that there is division among the church, there is division among the brethren, there is division among the people of God. And Paul was addressing that they speak the same thing, that they speak the same thing, they pursue one goal, they save the same thing, and they believe in the same thing, and they have one mind and the same judgment. Permit me to say here that it is unfortunate that believers are not aware of the power that is behind unity. Because if we are aware of the power behind unity, we will fight with our last blood to keep the unity of the church. We will fight with our last blood to keep the unity, the bond of the church, to keep the unity of the family of God. How do you mean, preacher, when you talk about the unity of the church, the unity of the family, the unity, the bond of the church, the bond of the body of Christ? Like I rightly said earlier, there is a difference between unity and uniformity. Christ did not call us to uniformity. Christ called us to unity. Christ did not call us to ask others to be like us or for we to change to be like others so we could suit the people. Christ actually called us to come with our uniqueness and in one agreement pursue one goal, which is the doctrine of Christ, not to introduce our doctrine. You know, we were born in different background, raised in different background, but when we come to the Church of Christ, where Jesus is demanding for unity, we come with our different uniqueness to pursue not our goals from our families, not our goals from how we were raised, not our goals from this our educational background, not our goals from our life experiences that is contrary to the Word of God, but to pursue one goal, which is the cross of Jesus and the doctrine of Christ. But unfortunately, we fight ourselves in the church and in the family of God. This person is operating this way. This other person is operating the other way, which ought not to be. I am an Anglican. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm of Zion Church, which ought not to be. We were not saved by church. We were saved by Christ. We are of Christ, not of churches, not of denomination, but of Christ. And that should be the goal of the church, to point people to Jesus, not to the church. Not pointing people to the pastor, not pointing people to the minister, not pointing people to yourself, not pointing people to the church. That our church is more anointed than the other church. You begin to preach church. No, the unity of the church should be that we point people to Jesus. And that is why I think we are confusing the world when we begin to preach our different churches, when we begin to preach our different beliefs, when we begin to preach our different culture to the people. They begin to get confused because we call them to come to Jesus. Now they arrive at the church, the message they hear in the church is about the church, is about the pastor, is about individual belief, not about the basic doctrine of Jesus, which is documented in the Bible. So Paul here is saying that the division in the church shouldn't be. It is not called for. It is not necessary. But the reason we have given room for division is because there is a hand behind the scene which has made us, have deluded our mind, have influenced our mind, have bewitched our mind to stand in what we believe outside the scripture, that this is what our pastor taught us, or this is how I was raised. So you don't want to change, you don't want to come to the terms with the word of God, you don't want to come to terms with the power of unity which will bind the church together and bind the family together. Verse number 13 of First Corinthians, where we read from. Yeah, First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. Paul asks a question, is Christ divided? Today I'm wondering, when I hear the church preach this, church preach that, different churches preach different doctrine that is not in agreement with the basic doctrine of Christ. Are we divided? Is the body of Christ divided? Is the church divided? I think the devil is having upper hand over the church. So how do we prepare the people for the return of Jesus if we cannot get the basic fact of unity? Just the word unity. Remember this, child of God, wherever you are hearing the sound of my voice. Remember this, before Jesus left the earth, the last prayer he prayed, he said, Father, that they may be one as I and you are one. That they may unite the way we are united. That they may understand each other the way we understand each other. That they may walk in agreement with each other the way we walk in agreement with each other. That they may stand for one purpose and pursue one goal the way we agree and we pursue one goal. I came to die for the people because we are working in one goal. Even when it was difficult for Jesus at Gethsemane, it was difficult for him. When he was carrying the human flesh, it was difficult for him to proceed, to continue with the work of the cross. But beaming that he has to walk in unity to achieve one goal, he said, not my will, but yours be done. That is the power of unity. That is the power of unity, and the church is lacking the power of unity, and by so doing is affecting the body of Christ. Permit me to say that when you read the book of Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3, I'm sure some of you have read that scripture before, you quote that scripture oftentimes talking about unity. You say how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How pleasant and good it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And verse 3 says, it is there the Lord commanded his blessing. The commanded blessing is where there is unity. And the devil knows this. If you will permit me to say, I will state here that the devil knows this scripture and the efficacy of this scripture more than most believers who read and quote this scripture from time to time. Because if we know the efficacy of the word unity, which is to harmonize, which is to come with your uniqueness and work together for one goal and one dream and one vision, We will not fight ourselves. We will not be struggling, trying to be recognized, trying to be identified as the better part of the church, as a better part of the family and all that. Try to say that my voice has to be heard. We have to speak with one voice, like Paul said. I don't have to project myself. You don't have to project yourself. All we are pursuing is one goal, which is Christ. We have to project Jesus. We have to project the church of Jesus. We have to project the vision of Jesus and of the church of God, not me, not you, not our image, not our personality, not our title, not our position. I think the problem with the church is that we intend to be recognized, we intend our voice to be heard, we intend to be known, so we are no longer pursuing one goal, so everybody is pursuing their goal in the church. You can imagine in the same church, where the head pastor will preach one message, and the other day the assistant pastor is preaching and is trying to counter what the head pastor have just preached. Division. Permit me to say the word division is actually from the word diversion. Division, diversion. Division is the word that is explained to be two vision. There is a particular vision, but within the vision, there is a vision. So there is a vision to achieve this, but someone else is coming to create a vision to distract the main purpose for that vision. That is division. So you are dividing the vision, the ultimate vision. You are dividing it because you, in your head, you have a different idea. So the pastor is speaking one thing today. The senior pastor is preaching one thing today. Then the other day, the junior pastor is coming to counter it. In the cell group, the leader is saying one thing today. The other day, the assistant is coming to counter it. You see division in the body of Christ? The devil is gaining upper hand on daily basis. Why? Because we are not united. If the head pastor preach a message and the assistant pastor does not understand the message, I think there should be room for questioning. It may not be in the service. Meet your assistant pastor. This is what I taught. This is how I understand the scripture. And you will be explained to. I believe the head pastor knows something the younger pastor may not know. I believe so. Especially if a man has been there for quite a while in the field of preaching the gospel of Jesus. Hallelujah. The Lord loves you and the Lord cares about you and the Lord cares about his church. And that is why this message is coming your way this time for unity. Unity in the body of Christ, when unity in the church is extremely important. The general local church is too divided, and unfortunately the family looks up to the church instead of the Bible. The family is not exempted from division. Why? Because it looks up to the church. And the church is presenting on daily basis by its action, division every here and there. And by the messages we preach, you can imagine a member comes to a pastor to report on another pastor. And this pastor comes up to condemn that pastor without critically listening to both sides or being careful or judging the pastor from the scripture, but judging from what the member said. A few days ago, a lady called me from Durban in South Africa to report actually her pastor. Sorry, I'm not going to mention her name if she may be listening to this broadcast. And I asked her a few questions. Did you inform your pastor before Sunday that you were not going to be in church when your pastor got angry with you that you were not in church? She said no. I said, you say that. Now, if I was not careful, I was going to quickly judge your pastor, that your pastor shouldn't have just bounced on you and rebuke you for not being in church. But you as a member, did you also consider that your pastor expected? Take for example, for a family, your child walks out and comes back in the evening or the next day without letting you know where he or she went. Will you be happy as a parent? She said, no. I said, then why would you expect your pastor to be happy when you were not in church on Sunday? So if your pastor rebuke you, he is right. When she finally agreed with me, I told her, then go back, apologize to your pastor, and where you were hurt, your pastor maybe it's possible he was hard on you. Wherever you were hurt, let your pastor know you were hurt, and two of you come to agreement. Come to reconciliation. He is your pastor, and you must respect that. And she was like, oh, thank you, man of God. I said, that's good. Then go back to your pastor and let me know. That is what the church should be. Don't let another man's flock comes to you and report certain things to you, and you wake up to condemn that ministry. You wake up to condemn that man of God. You wake up to condemn the calling of another man, which is not your calling. We are all called and graced differently. We need unity. We need strength to overcome the works of the devil. And until we unite, we may not achieve the purpose of the church. What did Jesus say in the book of Matthew chapter 12, verse 25, after, when he wrought the miracle of casting out devils and all that? You remember the people were accusing him of using the power of Beelzebub. You all know the scripture. And Jesus responded with this word. He said, a house or a city that is divided against itself cannot stand. You still remember? Let's look at it. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verse 25. And Jesus knew their thought and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Verse 26, let's add that to it. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? How shall then his kingdom stand? Now, let's look critically at the scripture, if there is still time. Jesus is saying here that division destroys a house. Division. When, take for example, when the father comes and says, oh, I love this dress for my daughter at home, and the mother quickly said, oh, I don't love it. They are divided. Yeah, they are divided. The house is divided. Because the man have a vision for the daughter, and the mother have a different vision for the mother, for the daughter. I think if the father said, I love this dress for my daughter, and the mother doesn't love the dress, it should be discussed. Yeah. If vice versa, if the mother says, I love this for my son, and the father doesn't love it, it should be discussed. Don't fight back. Don't create the avenue for division. There should be unity. There should be oneness. There should be one goal. You should know why your husband loved that thing. You should know why your wife loved that thing. There shouldn't be contention. In most of the contention is that, okay, I'm not going to say anything. No, it should be discussed. So there is so much division in the body of Christ because the visionary is saying, this is what we're going to do. And somebody who is following the vision is saying, we don't understand why we must do that thing. And at the end of the day, the body of Christ is going nowhere. Why? Because we have contention among ourselves. And Jesus said, a house that contends against itself cannot stand. The body of Christ will only stand to do great exploit and bring the works of the devil to an end, and destroying the powers of darkness and upholding the power of light, if when the church will come together in unity, in oneness, in harmony, to harmonize together. You are in the prophetic, you cannot condemn the apostle. You are in the apostolic, you shouldn't condemn the evangelist. You are an evangelist, you shouldn't condemn the teacher, not condemn the pastor. We are all graced in different ways. Let's come together for all these gifts and these callings we're given for the edification of the church. The same way is the family. If you don't understand a particular thing in the family, let it be discussed so that the family can be built so that division can come to an end. The same thing in the community and the world at large. If there is understanding, and there will be unity. If there is unity, there will be strength. If there is strength, we can do great exploits and achieve our goals and ultimate purpose of winning the war against the devil. I therefore stand with you as a child of God in your ministry, wherever there is contention and division and strife and struggle in your family, in the name of Jesus, in that organization. We speak the peace of God. We speak the mind of God. In the name of Jesus, let there be peace. Let there be strength for unity. In the name of Jesus, let there be understanding among mothers and fathers. Let there be understanding among parents. Let there be understanding among children and their parents. In the name of Jesus, let there be understanding among the church. Let there be understanding in the church leadership. In the name of Jesus, I speak the peace of God where there is fight in ministry and in the church. We speak the peace of God. We hear many ministries have taken themselves to court, struggling with cases here and there with ministers among themselves. We speak the peace of God in the name of Jesus. We bring the devil under subjection. We cast away the spirit of division from the church in the name of Jesus.
Hello, brethren. Come and worship with us at the Faith Life Ministries, Boxburg 24 Main Street, Whitfield, opposite Spa, every Friday at 5:30 p.m. and every Sunday starting from 10 a.m. South African time. As you attend our service, kindly also you can invite your friends, your neighbors, and your family members, and your life will never remain the same again. For more information and prayers, kindly you can reach us through +27 81 320 6746, +27 81 320 6746, and may God bless you.
Lord and Savior, could you please pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and my life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Once again, thank you for joining. This is Pastor Roxanne Maestri, and I am coming to you live from Johannesburg in South Africa. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Finding My Way, the most motivated, inspiring radio station. Once again, before we start, let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, come once again to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, my Father. I thank you for this time that you've given us, my Father. And I pray, my Father, those who are listening, my Father, let their faith be arise to another level, my Father. Move them from glory to glory, my Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Family, I am once again joined by a beautiful young lady. She is known as Pastor Busi Radebe. But I'm going to call her Busi for now because this is the Who Told You. So before I go on, Pastor Busi, welcome to Finding My Way Radio Station.
Greetings, family, in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is Busi Radebe from Guatemala Springs in South Africa.
Family, before we go on, I just need to tell you that this in Please bear with us because this interview might be a little slow than normal. It's because Pastor Busi lip reads. Yes, she lip reads. But you know how awesome is God? That with God, that does not matter. As long as you avail yourself, everything becomes possible. So like I said, today I'm here with, I'm going to say Busi for now. So Busi, welcome once again and thank you for joining us. So Busi, as you know, this is the Who Told You radio station. So I want to take you back. I want to take you back in time. Before you became a pastor, who was Busi that people now don't know about?
Busi was a young girl who grew up in Mohlakeng, Randfontein, in Johannesburg. Busi was a normal child, just like any other children. But Busi, again, was also a bitter and angry child as she grew up.
Before we go on, Busi, what does the name mean for those that don't live in South Africa? What does Busi mean? Is there a meaning behind your name?
Yes, there is a meaning behind my name. Busisiwe means blessed.
Wow, and looking at you, you are blessed. I must say indeed, you are a blessing to me, Pastor Busi. So Busi, you mentioned that Busi was a young girl, but was full of anger and so forth. Can you enlighten us more? Take us back to the time frame when you were going through that anger. And as you spoke about, what made you angry? What are the circumstances that you say that Busi was that person?
I grew up lip reading, and my parents were not aware that I had a severe hearing loss. So each time I would lip read, my father would scold at me, reprimand me, shout at me, because according to our culture, when you look straight in the person's eyes, it was not right. It was like maybe you are a disrespectful child. We were not supposed to look at the elder's face when talking. But with me, I didn't have any means because I wouldn't hear a person when he or she was speaking without me lip reading. What made me angry was that I was always shouted at, yet nobody knew, even myself. I didn't know that I had this disability.
Wow, Pastor Busi, lip reading, but you speak so well. You have such a powerful voice. So you say that no one knew that you had an ear problem, that you could not hear. So at what age or at what stage was it discovered that you can't hear properly and that you lip read?
In fact, I grew up a lip reader, even at school. I would love to sit in the front rows, though I was good in class. But I would always like to look at my teacher as she was teaching. I only realized when I got married to my husband at the age of 22 that I had a severe hearing loss. My husband told me that I must just go and visit the doctor to diagnose me.
Oh my, so you mean from the time you was born, you've been having this problem and only at the age of 22, that's a long way. Did you discover that there was much more to this? Oh my word. So what happened after that, after you found out? Okay, but hold on. So before you got married, you completed your school. Did you go and study after that?
By the grace of God, I was very clever in class. I passed all my classes with a first class until matric. And then after matric, I went to the College of Education to study a diploma in teaching. That's where I met my husband. And that's when he realized that I needed to see a doctor.
So here was a young girl who had difficulties in hearing, but you mean you still completed your school career and you still went on to study to become a teacher? Wow. I mean, to become a teacher, I mean, that takes a lot of courage because you are lip reading. And being a teacher with a room full of students, how did you manage that?
In fact, it is quite a miracle when I look back, because I really can't tell how did I manage, as I also didn't know that I have this problem. The only thing I knew was that each time someone talked to me, I must look into his face. Without looking at the person's face, I wouldn't hear anything.
Wow. You know, that just tells me that God's grace was upon you. That just tells me that God's hand was upon you. Because, I mean, I am very good. I can hear. But I'm just imagining me in a classroom and listening to all of these students talking one time. But how difficult it must be for you, because you have to lip read all of the students. Oh my gosh, indeed, God is awesome. So now you go on and you meet your knight in shining armor, you know, your king, as you call him, your king. What is your husband's name?
My husband's name is Ambrose, and surname is Katebe.
And mind you, when she says her husband's name, you could just see that she's blushing. Like she's a young girl getting married all over again. So Pastor Busi, how long are you married for to this Ambrose?
We've been married for 31 years now.
Wow.
Since 1988.
31 years. I have to ask, what's the secret?
The secret behind our fulfilling marriage is Christ being the foundation of our marriage. Amen. Yes, there are other many elements, but if it was not Christ who saved our lives, who and us being born again, we wouldn't be here we are today.
But now I'm very tempted to ask. Now with your, I don't like to use the word disability, but for the sake of understanding, with your hearing disability, did you not have a problem? Did you not have a problem in your marriage with communication? Was it not difficult or something?
Wow, I thank God for my wonderful husband. Yes, having a hearing difficulty, it's quite a challenge. Because sometimes my children would talk to me, I wouldn't respond. My husband would talk, I wouldn't respond. I remember there was a time I got angry with all of them in the house and I said they should go for counseling. Somebody must teach them how to treat a person who has this disability. But I also thank my family for the patience they had and they're still having with me.
Now, if you are listening, doesn't she speak so beautifully? You would never say that she's actually doing this interview lip reading. That's the power of God. So, Pastor Busi, I know you for some time now, and you've written a book. Okay, so let's talk about this book that you wrote. What is the name of the book? Firstly, what is the name of the book you wrote?
The name of the book is Passion and Pain.
So the name of the book is called Passion and Pain. Pastor Busi, why that title? I mean, that alone tells me there was something deep that went through for you to name Passion and Pain. Can you take us through that journey?
The reason for this title, Passion and Pain, it's because the book itself, it is a biography of myself and my husband, and we're taking you to a journey of pain for 18 years, going through lots and lots of pain. And God was able to turn the pain into passion. Today, we are able to inspire people, to heal people through what God has done through us.
Now, when you say that you speak about 18 years of pain, would you say pain, physical pain, emotionally pain, ministry pain, marriage pain? What pain are you referring to? Or perhaps all of them?
The book is all in one. We've experienced emotional pain, physical pain, financial pain. I can mention endless. But when we look back, there's none of the pain we haven't been through. And we understand now why God allowed us to go through that pain.
That sounds like a very, very interesting book to get. And I'll urge your family, do get the book, because I also have a copy of the book and I read the book. It's indeed a very small but a very powerful book. It doesn't even take you long to read. Pastor Busi, if somebody wants to get the book, where can they get the book from and how much is it?
If you want the book is still available. You can get it from me or from my husband. And the number, the contact number is 027-7369-6-7908. And you can also email me at busihatebe380@gmail.com.
Okay, family. But for those of us that, you know, the title is quite powerful, quite eye-catching. Can you tell us a little more about the book? What am I going to read in the book? Just a few nuggets why I should buy the book, rather.
The reason I encourage my listeners to buy this book is that the book will inspire you in the way that you will see that there is nothing impossible with God. And the core of the book is that we're talking about that every experience you go through, it is part of the calling of God in your life. I speak about attempted rape in a book. I speak about terminal illnesses, about accidents we encounter, about financial difficulties. There are so many things I've mentioned in my book. In fact, the pain that we went through about our miracle child, because our last born child is also a miracle child. The doctors had declared already that I won't be able to conceive, as my husband was terminally ill due to cancer. But a miracle happened. God blessed us with a handsome son.
Attempted rape. Pastor Busi, you mentioned attempted rape, so I'm also going to read about the attempted rape. Can you, if it's not too painful for you, can you take us to the time? What are you referring to?
It was 29 years ago. My firstborn daughter was 2 months old. I was from work. And the place we were living in, there was no transport. And I also had no transport. I had to use the public transport. So I was from work. And on my way back to work, I had to cross a bush. I had no way out, but that's how we used to go to our place, because even taxis wouldn't want to take us there. So on this fateful day, walking on foot, there was a man who was following me. I didn't know that the man had something on me. So now, as I was just in the middle of that road, the man rushed and he grabbed me and he took me into the middle of the bush. where there was no one, and even when I screamed, no one could hear me. But by the grace of God, as I was fighting the man, crying, calling upon the name of Jesus, that's where even my calling was confirmed. Because during that time, when the man was tearing my clothes, stabbing me, I had scars on my body. When that man stabbed me on that day, as everything was happening, I had an audible voice, and I believe it was God. That audible voice said to me, "Do not be afraid. Nothing will ever harm you, for I have called you to heal the brokenhearted." So when I looked around, I didn't see anyone, but I only heard that voice. The man was now trying to rape me because I was naked then, the man just ran away and left me just like that. I was like shocked as to what was happening. When I looked around, just about 300 meters away from me, there was an old kumbi. It was a miracle, but I believe those were the angels of God because I've never seen those people again ever since that day. Those were the people who rescued me. They were inside the kumbi in the middle of the bush. So they took me home. That's how I experienced. It was an attempted rape because even when I went to the doctors confirmed it to my husband that I was just nearly raped. But that alone traumatized me and I was depressed for many days.
Wow, wow, wow. Surely we can say that the hand of God was upon you. You know, the Bible says that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And thank God that His grace, His mercy, His angels was covering you. So I take it that we will read all about this in the book. So I urge you to please get in contact with Pastor Busi and read the book for yourself. Pastor Busi, as you were going, you said that you were very angry after this attempted rape. What are you still angry?
Not at all. I'm not angry anymore. You know, that trauma I experienced, God turned it into compassion. I'm a very compassionate person. I just listen to the brokenhearted. I listen and talk to the depressed. And God is using me now to heal so many abused, to heal people who are very depressed. Because during that time, I was admitted for 6 months in hospital due to depression. So I know how it is to be depressed. I know how it is to be traumatized. I know how it is to be brokenhearted. So God turned everything into a compassion. You know, I'm so compassionate, I can't help it. But I always, I even talk on the phone with various people who need healing, who need emotional healing, who need physical healing.
So you see, family, whatever disability you have, it does not mean that God cannot use you. How powerful is that? That she can even, well, now she wears an earring aid, but her strength is to lip read. I'm so blessed by your testimony, Pastor Busi. You are such an encouragement and phenomenal woman that through your pain, through your anger, and through your depression, that you can still stand up and say that God is real, that God's love will carry you through. So today, Pastor Busi, you are a pastor. So what would you say? Who told you?
Who told you that a lady like myself, who grew up with hearing loss and attempted rape and fractured skull, because I also experienced an accident where I had a fractured skull and I lost my memory for many months. So who told you that a lady can be a pastor today? Yes, I'm called and a pastor. Though at first I resisted the calling. And the reason for me resisting the calling was my hearing loss. because I felt that I'm not worth it to be a pastor who has difficulty with communication. But God called me and He is still using me even today.
Wow. You see, family, who told you that just because you had a rough upbringing or just because you encountered some depression, some stress and some anxiety attacks, but who told you that God cannot use you? Here is a woman who has a disability. She lip reads, but today she is a pastor. Today she is helping the nation and she's even got her own book out. Who told you that God cannot use you? Pastor Busi, for someone out there who's listening to you and perhaps has gone through what you have been through, maybe attempted rape, or maybe not even that, maybe they are in depression, maybe they're stressed out, what advice would you give them?
The advice I can give is that God is the source of healing. Christ Jesus is the one who heals the broken heart. So if you come to Jesus, Jesus is able to heal you from the inside to the outside. And then after you have accepted Him as the Lord and Savior, there's also family in Christ Jesus. People who will take you through your journey and people who will talk to you and counsel you, because you also need counseling when you have emotional problems.
Pastor Busi, if somebody wants to invite you to come and speak like a woman's conference, where can they get a hold of you? Are you willing to travel to come and speak about your experience, to speak about your book?
Yes, I'm very passionate about speaking. I've spoken to many places, inspiring people even about my testimony. So I can travel. I'm also a driver. I can go anywhere. Wherever you invite me, I'm available for you.
As we come to the close of this interview, Pastor Busi, thank you so much. I really appreciate your time that you've given us. You're such a really, really a woman of strength to go through what you've been through and to have this disability. I don't like to use that word, but for the sake of the listeners, for them to understand, but you're still standing strong. So you are also a pastor with Pastor Ambrose, as you mentioned, and the name of your church is called God Our Healer Ministry. Where are you based? And if somebody wants to come for mentorship to you, are you open for that?
Yes, we open for mentorship. In fact, we are also marriage counselors. We've healed so many marriages. God help us to talk to hopeless marriages, people who were going through divorce, but now their marriages are fulfilling. So we are available for mentorship. We also do individual counseling, single parenting. We also counsel.
Pastor Busi, thank you once again. Can I ask you to please close in prayer? Pray for that person that's listening, that have lost hope, that have lost the journey to God. Can you pray for us?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious moment. We thank you, Lord, for the listeners who are inspired right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Father God, we bring all the listeners to you that you heal their broken hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your word says in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Those that run to it are safe. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Nkulunkulu wethu, ukuthi Baba, Christ Jesus is always here to heal us. Christ Jesus is always here to hear our cries in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I thank you ukuthi uNkulunkulu wethu namandla onke, this interview and this testimony right now is healing and inspiring whoever is listening. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
Once again, you are listening to Pastor Roxanne Maestri, live from Johannesburg in South Africa. Until we meet again, shalom.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.